Hey guys, what's going on? It's Josh, JCL Felta for The Writer's Lens. And as I had promised, in 2018, I was going to be doing some more interviews here on this podcast. And I'm very happy and glad to finally bring on a good friend of mine. His name is Emmanuel Mullen. Say hello, Emmanuel.
Hello, how you doing?
Emmanuel is the co-founder of The Story Is, which is a video production company here in Cleveland, Ohio. And Emmanuel and I have a bit of a storied history, which I won't jump into right away because I do want Emmanuel to introduce himself. But I will say this right as we're getting going here is Emmanuel and I were part of the same writers group for a while, which has been on a bit of a hiatus as of late due to life.
We all had babies. That's right. All at the exact same time. Yeah. It's fine.
That's exactly
the world
right.
Understands.
but life goes on. Life must go on. So very appreciative that you were able to take time anyway to do this. So, but like I said, Emmanuel is a fellow creative who just so happens to run his own business, and I happen to respect him very much for being able to do that and balance being a husband and a father at the same time. So lots of really cool things to unpack, I think, with this gentleman across the way in this interview. So without getting too much into it, Emmanuel, if you wanted to say a little bit about yourself and or The Story Is, if you would be so kind.
I will try to be as kind as I can. Thanks for that great introduction. Mm-hmm. It was, hopefully there's some good stuff to unpack. Otherwise it could be a very short interview, but we'll see. Yeah, I have known Josh for, man, what is it, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
5 years?
Yeah, it's been about
something
6 years.
Yeah, and he pursued me for this podcast for about half a year, so I'm glad our agents finally were able to connect and make something work. We were able to work out a deal.
I had a bang on your door for like months, man.
Yeah, there's going to be Netflix actually made it work, you know, so this top podcast will be on probably Netflix later.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
I'm representing.
Yeah, but we, I'm actually in my studio. I was giving Josh a little tour earlier, but we're a small video production company based out of Cleveland. We specialize in working with companies and brands and organizations to help them come up with a message that will speak authentically to their audience. So whether it's, you know, a big business that is trying to, maybe they're a legacy company. So maybe they're 100 years old and they need to kind of communicate with millennials, or maybe it's, we work with a lot of nonprofits for their fundraising campaigns, so we get to tell some cool stories that way. But people come to us and we work with them and really craft stories that will play well visually, of course, the video aspect, and in a way that will connect with who we identify as their audience. So it's a fun time. We've been doing it since 2013. January 2013 is when we started, so we're in our 6th year, which is kind of crazy.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
Did I do the math right? 5th year?
Yeah, 5th year. Well, if you started
starting our 6th year.
Yeah, starting your 6th year.
5 complete years.
Wow, that's just awesome.
I don't do math, but.
And yeah. You guys have had a little bit of like rebranding here and there throughout the last 5 or 6 years, correct? I mean, just.
Yeah, we, my wife and I started you could just call it like a media company in 2009. We weren't married at the time, but it was kind of an everything company. We did, you know, web design, print design, video production. And it was one of those things where it was kind of, because we were doing all these things, we were never doing any of them great. So we took a break from it for about a year and a half. And then decided, okay, we really want to do, if we could just do one thing, what would it be? And we decided to, that video is really our passion. So we rebranded in beginning of 2013 as The Story Is, just video production. It took probably a year and a half to people to learn that I am not a design guy anymore. I'm a video guy. But eventually we kind of got to that point. And then recently, the past few months, we actually got a more professional logo with a real brand identity, which has been pretty exciting. So yeah, it's been all good things.
Yeah, man. I especially have been tracking with just the fact that you guys kind of started out one way and then you've gone this direction and now this has really stuck as far as The Story Is. And you do have a lot of tools in your toolkit. I mean, editing and design and just all these kinds of things. And so knowing that, though, I mean, all the tools you have to bring to what you do, what started all this anyway? So let's just go back in time. Okay, let's just go to the birth. Yeah.
I've been very blessed and fortunate to kind of always know what I want to do. Always is probably a bit extreme, but I've always been into story. My earliest memories are playing Legos and coming up with stories with these little characters and these, you know, these big worlds. Around that time is when I discovered The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and Dune, which I was probably a little too young to read Dune, but I did. And
I did the same thing, man. It's all good.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in that book that I didn't get until I was older. I'm like, oh, cool. But so I've always been interested in story, and I started using Photoshop in eighth grade. My uncle took me to a conference called SIGGRAPH, which is this big graphic design conference that they do every year. I think they still do it. I think I was in eighth grade, and the movie, remember the movie Ants?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Woody Allen was the voice.
Yeah.
That movie was not out. They were just testing that movie. So this must've been, I'm thinking late 90s. Mid to late 90s. I'm 33. So It was one of those things where I kind of got to see what the future was, what this is when computer animation was pretty new. Toy Story had been out for maybe 2 or 3 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And so there was like, you know, these are movies, these are graphics that are possible. A lot of the stuff is getting cheaper and cheaper, more accessible. And then I had a friend, one of my best friends, his older brother had downloaded a illegal version of Photoshop. And so...
You know, you're not supposed to admit that, like, you know, on a...
he was in high school at the time, so his educational license, which, so I still remember the moment when he fired it up and was showing me how to use, I think, the gradient tool, and there was like a bevel and emboss tool and a lens flare, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And so I would go over to my friend's house and just work on his Photoshop. And then high school, I took some classes. One of my teachers basically created a class for me. It was instead of study hall, he let me come. He had a bunch of IMAX. Remember, they were used to be colorful, like the color. Yeah. He had a bunch of those. He had Adobe Premiere, which crashed all the time, but he let me use it. He let me borrow their camera. I just got to mess around with all the stuff for like a full year, year and a half, I think.
Wow.
So I knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do something. I thought it was going to be graphic design, something in that area. So college, in college, it was very logical for me to just, you know, I want to do computer graphics. I went to Purdue University and was accepted into their computer graphics technology, which is a relatively new major at the time. It was supposed to kind of combine art and design and programming.
Mm-hmm.
I started 2002. So it was the world of the web was still pretty new. I mean, the .com bubble had burst a few years before that, so everything was kind of building back up. They must have seen the need for, there's a lot of people who are really artsy, and there's a lot of people who are really programming, technical, and there's a logical need for the middle. So I started doing that, and then about halfway through, I realized I didn't love the trajectory of the career that I could see. I mean, it was one of those things, like, basically I was kind of gravitating towards more the design, the web design aspect of it. And it was a thing where it was like, I'm basically just doing design. And really the jobs that I could see at the time were working for a company, helping them do a bunch of advertisement that's going to make them a lot of money, and I'll just barely get by. It was kind of this, I'm not adding value to the world. I call it my quarter life crisis. So I was halfway through my degree. And it was one of those things like, do I change careers? Do I do something else? And at the time I was taking, I think, a video editing class, just because I thought it'd be fun. And editing with video is always something I thought was fun, but never something I thought as a career, just never crossed my mind. And I still remember I went to see a movie called Hero.
Classic.
Yeah, it was with Jet Li. It's 2003, I think, 2004.
I think it was 2004.
And I remember sitting there. It was almost like all my life experiences had led up to this moment. It was like, I want to do this. I want to make movies. I want to communicate visually through video. And so I watched them. I went back to see the movie again the next day and actually brought a notebook and like took notes the whole time. Like they did this and they did this and they did this. And so I was able to go back and talk to my counselor and shape my, I only had 2 years left, so I couldn't really do, Purdue didn't have a video production major or minor. So it was more like they had random classes about video or editing. So I basically took all the ones I could, found a screenwriting class, took that, and kind of created my own, I call it my secondary specialization, I think is what I ended up calling it. So I graduated with a computer graphic design major, and then I specialized in video. That's kind of how I fell upon the field. So
wow. Yeah. It's really interesting. It's like I picked out a couple of things that I was listening to while you were talking, especially about the thing where you're going, well, I didn't really feel like I was going to add value, you know, to anything that was going on. And I feel like that's a very, like, we're both 33 years old, and I feel like we're kind of on the cusp of that. I consider myself an elder millennial. So
we are literally the oldest millennials.
We are. Yeah. We're like, we're like right on the cusp of that.
Yeah.
And but the thing that's interesting, you know, is I was actually talking about this with my old roommate in one of my previous interviews, is I said, man, I always felt like growing up, I had to find something valuable to do. Like I couldn't just do something, you know, like everybody else was doing and things like that. But very rarely I feel, or just experience wise, do you actually see people that I followed a passion or I followed something that I was really super interested in and I applied myself and actually went for it and did it, which is what I think is so cool about what you're doing now. So being able to recognize those things as they're happening, I think is very, obviously very insightful on your part, but do you attribute any of it to like luck or was there a lot of hard work involved that went into this, the story is that eventually it became?
Both. I mean, as far as which part? I like the actual creating of the company or falling into video production?
I'll say falling into video production. I mean, as far as
there was a lot of, so, when I graduated, some friends and I were for our senior project for the major, you basically for the whole semester create a project and then it's basically your thesis for the thesis equivalent of our major. So you create teams and then you create a video. Some people did like a film. Some people did web applications. Some people, you know, you start like a fake business basically is the idea. So there's five of us and we started what was basically a Facebook competitor or we're trying to be. So this is 2006. So Facebook,
that didn't take off.
Yeah, I know. It was one of those things. We had a lot of, we got best in class. It was basically a Facebook for events. So Facebook had been out for about a year and a half. It was really gaining ground. It hadn't quite, it was still college only. And so our thing was like, instead of making this online social network for profiles, it'd be it for events. So everything was based around events. It was really exciting. We got best in class. Then we just decided to write a business plan and go for a business plan competition. We won the business plan competition.
Wow.
I think it was $20,000, which when you're a college kid is like the most money you could possibly imagine. So we, three of us were really serious and passionate about it. So we basically got an apartment, holed up for however long and just tried to get this thing to go. None of us were business majors. None of us really knew what we were doing. We were in Indiana, which we should have moved to someplace where like Silicon Valley or New York or something where we actually had the user base, but we just didn't have it. We ran out of money, started a web design company,
Wow.
Tried to pay bills, had a little luck getting that off the ground. So it's one of those things that right after college, I didn't, even though I had specialized and realized I wanted to do video, I didn't take the time and try to figure out how to make that a career. It was more, okay, I'm doing design right now. I can make money this way. I worked for a company in Indianapolis. I was in Lafayette, so it was about an hour commute south, for a few months after college, before my friends and I decided to do this business plan and did this whole thing. And they hired me on as a video editor. So I was able to do some of that. And this is before the DSLR revolution, as we call it, before this is all mini DV tapes and you record, you'd record the thing and then you'd plug it into your computer. Then you'd record on your computer and literally wait the length of how much footage you had for it to import. And then you could do your editing. So it's still, when we were doing all this design stuff and web design, I had a little camera, a little mini DV camera, and I would film stuff with my friends and just make stupid short films. And then after the whole thing with the Facebook competitor fell apart, because it did, we ran out of money and had to pay bills. I got into doing a lot of freelance, and I had a friend who was at a ad agency in New York City. And he basically called me one day, hey, can you do these design things for, I think it was Saucony Shoes and 1800 Tequila. Like, sure. And he's just kept calling me and getting me to do stuff. So I did stuff for Target and Pepsi, and some other big brands. I was like, oh, cool, I'm doing stuff for big brands. But I still had that feeling of like, I'm not adding value. I'm just literally making a graphic, and cool, it has this logo on it, but it's not doing what I thought it would. Mm-hmm. So that passion of doing video kind of came back. And around this time is when I met Steph, who, my wife, her name is Stephanie. And she had just graduated from college about a year prior, and she had majored in video production. I am the creative side of video. I mean, it's all creativity, very little organization. She is the organizational side, the logical side, the producer. Mm-hmm. So we meshed really well, and it was one of those, I like this girl, I got to figure out how to talk to her. So video production was my way in. and so it was one of those things like, okay, so maybe I can do all this stuff. Maybe I can still do what I'm doing. And then her and I could collaborate and do some video stuff. I'm giving you a very truncated version of the story.
It's all good. It's like, it's like I'm listening to when tape recorder met VCR. Exactly.
And then this happened. Yeah, basically. There's so much. I mean, this has been like 15 years of story. So, wow. And then basically a lot of stuff happens. We start this kind of everything company. We're doing a bunch of everything, kind of miserable. Take a break. We both work at a place for a while. And my wife's mother passes away. Cancer, 3 months, and she's gone. And it was like this, obviously this world shaking thing. Mm-hmm. And it really gets you thinking like, okay, life is short. Nothing's guaranteed. What am I doing with my life? Am I spending, with the time I have, what am I spending it on? And we both realize like video and telling stories is what we are made and need to do. So we took a step of faith, both quit our job, and started this, rebranded as The Story Is, and started basically reached out to all of our old web design company people that we had done web design for, print for, and said, hey, we're doing video. If anybody's interested, we'd love to work with you. We had a few of them say, yeah, let's do that. And that's how we got started. So it was one of those things, like I knew I was passionate about this thing, but it took this like life shaking experience to really like kind of draw a line in the sand, if you will, and just decide to be that and decide like almost like a rebranding of myself. And that's kind of how it started. So
I think what's really a good takeaway too from what you were talking about is you guys actually had a plan. Like you didn't just like, I mean, yes, you took a leap of faith, but there was definitely a plan of like, hey, we're going to contact our old resources. We're going to contact people that we've done work with in the past, because I think one of the things I really learned too was that, yeah, there's an element of throwing caution to the wind when you're pursuing passion and purpose. But at the same time, there's also this realistic factor of, do I have any roots yet? You know, do I have any kind of foundation that I can actually put down and say, all right, now I can take a few steps up, right? I'm not yeah. just like jumping out in the middle of the lake and hoping I'm wearing a floaty or something. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a very natural progression for you and, you know, and for Stephanie to have come to that point. So I just really appreciate you sharing that. Now, obviously, since you guys are a married couple, you see each other a lot being
all
married.
Time.
Okay. And then being the co-founders of this company. And I know you guys have a few other employees now, which is awesome. But just the whole dynamic of being a husband, wife, business partner duo. I mean, I just kind of go, whoa, like that's and I talked to, you know, in one of my previous episodes, I talked to Willie and Rachel Scott, mm-hmm. who do the Better Than Blended ministry.
Yeah.
And they're a husband, wife duo also that founded this ministry of, you know, helping blended families. And I asked them the exact same question. And they had both parties there were there to answer this question, though. So just you answering
this.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, about
that's
the nice. Dynamic. I mean, you kind of already answered it. Like, I'm the creative guy, and, you know, I'm the one throwing ideas out there, and, you know, I'm kind of like throwing Jello on the wall, and I'm just kind of trying to make it stick or something. And Steph's like, no. Like, okay, yeah, I can. No, we'll do this next, okay? It was funny because Willie and Rachel were the exact same way. They were the exact same way. It was like, yeah, I'm the idea guy, and she kind of helps push me and stuff. But how do you guys balance this lifestyle of working together? Obviously, you guys are both creative and very driven. How do you balance this lifestyle of, I have a business, we have to make this thing work, and, oh, by the way, we have kids. I mean, how on earth does that...
Which we didn't have when we started the business, but yeah. It's... As far as working together, it was very natural. I mean, we just clicked. It's the most natural working relationship I've ever had. So, I mean, as far as like, it feels weird. It's like, so once we had kids, a kid and then another kid, she basically, for the first year, she was like, okay, I just want to raise a kid. I don't want to work. So it was super weird. I mean, I was like, okay, I'm doing this by myself. And it was this huge culture shock because we worked together for, you know, five years at the point. So, that's just always, it just works for us. I mean, we've never had any issues as far as, 'cause I know a lot of husband and wife duos or a lot of friends I have who find out I work with my wife, like, oh, I can never work with my wife or I can never work with my husband. Just from a chemistry working, like, you know, just for one to give orders to the others, you know, there's a balance there. But yeah, it has to do with our roles work well together. Just in the industry, it works that, you know, she's the producer, I'm the creative. So she's the boss in certain things and I'm the boss in other things. So it just works. If she was my employee, it probably would be very unhealthy. I could see that not working. As far as the greater balance of life, we had to be very intentional early on to not be working all the time. To know, okay, especially when we started the company, we were working from the house. So it was like, we could just work all the time. Like, life could be the business, but I'd give her the credit for kind of pushing this a little bit better than that. Cause it's harder for me to turn my brain off, than her. Like, she literally, I can be talking to her about work things and I will see it in her eyes, work time's over. And it's over. Usually at the time it was like 7 o'clock is the latest she's like, all right, I'm done. I'm done. And we just had to be very intentional to leave work in the office, and not let it consume everything, which is, if you don't, it will consume everything. Cause it's also how you're paying your bills. So it just becomes, it can be this thing where it can become this monster if you let it. So now it's very natural. It's very easy to, because we have an office now, so that's where I'm talking to you now. It's about 5 minutes from the house, so I can still get home quickly. Steph doesn't come into the office very often. Usually, if I have, you know, she helps with editing, but she does it from the house, so it's pretty easy to kind of differentiate. But we're very blessed to be able to make it work.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I still kind of, my mind, I just kind of think about like how I would work with Ashley, my wife. if we were like, well, we kind of, I mean, it's weird though, because we kind of do like, we go to book signings and things like that. And mm-hmm. I mean, this may shock you cause you know me, but like, I get so timid talking to other people, like just about like my work.
I honestly would never have guessed.
Oh, that. I know. I know. It's like, you afraid to talk to somebody about this? Like what? You're not the same person. But like Ashley will just like sit down and like, boom, like she's like in the zone and she's like, have you heard about this book? Have you heard about Josh Salto who does this? Da, da, da. And I'm just like, wow, like you're really impressive. Like, I'm really glad I married you. Like, you know, this is, it's very impressive. But yeah, that's, I mean, kudos to you guys. I mean, for being able to make that work, especially with the whole child, I mean, having children in the mix too is just, it's gotta be like, I know it just from knowing you and, you know, obviously hanging out with you guys a lot, like it adds a whole nother layer of like, holy cow, we have to balance all this now. This is just not,
it's a lot,
not normative, you know, business type behavior. But, as far as the business itself, then, I mean, is there anything that you guys have learned through the last five, you know, going on 6 years now that you wish somebody else, like maybe like a mentor or someone would have told you guys like, hey, this is what you ought to be doing year one. This is what you ought to be doing year two. You should be setting these kinds of goals. Like, you know, is there anything that you wish you would have been told or someone did tell you, or was there someone who maybe spoke into your life a bit?
Yeah. I mean, I think some of those things that there's certain things you do in life where if you had known how hard it would be, you would never have started it. So when we started The Story Is, I had met with some business leaders who were running businesses that I really respected, very different type of businesses than what we were doing, but with cultures I really respected, and talked to them about how, you know, how they build their culture. How did they get to where they are? That kind of stuff, just picking brains. Cause I feel like I needed it at the time. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot just like how to build culture and how to kind of plan for the way you start is kind of the way you continue, as far as, especially when it comes to culture. So you don't really just pivot later. You got to set the groundwork now. So I was really interested in what that would look like for the company. And I remember one of the guys I met with, he was asking me, do you want to start a business? Are you starting this business because you want to start a business, or because you love doing video production and you want to make money doing that? And he's like, do you think you would ever sell the company and do something else? I'm like, well, if if I ever sold the company, I would just start another video production company because I love doing it. But it was one of those things like, hey, what kind of business am I running? Like, why am I starting? And that was an interesting thing to think about, because it's one of those things I do wish I had probably pursued, more of like financial guidance, as far as, you know, I know how to run a production. From the production standpoint, we knew what we were doing. We from budgeting the production to shooting it and editing it, all those pieces we were very familiar with. But it was more the, you know, how do you make sure you have enough, that you're saving enough for taxes or the profit of the business or expenses, that kind of stuff. I wish I had spent more time talking to people and really figuring out what those formulas need to look like. And then,
well, I just, well, real quick, while I got you in a train of thought, I think that's something that nobody thinks about. Like, I mean, you kind of if you're really pursuing this like passion of yours, it's kind of like, I have this vision and it's like, man, I got to get there, you know, and I don't think about these ancillary things that I know will probably just work themselves out somehow. You know, they're just if I really am doing it right on the front end, it'll work itself out on the back end, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, I don't even...
There's kind of this, like, blissful, like, enthusiasm, which is definitely common, so I don't feel bad about it. But it's one of those things, looking back, I'm like, that could have saved a lot of headache. And then as far... Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things... There's lots of things I probably wish people would... I don't know if I wish people had told me. It's more, I didn't realize how hard it could be. Especially after we had Lucas, our oldest, to go from, you know, Steph and I running the company together full time. And then we have this kid who's huge, you know, just a handful. He didn't sleep through the night till he was one.
I remember.
And yeah, it was rough. And Steph was like, you know, I want to just be home and I want to, you know, support her in this. Like, she's like, I just want to be home and be a mom for her. A bit. We weren't really sure going into it whether she would want to do that or not, so we hadn't really planned for it. was like, okay, we'll just wait and see. So that was hard. That was about a year of me just trying to figure out, okay, can I do this by myself? Is this something I even want to be doing? Is this the work I want to be doing? So that was difficult. I don't know how I would have really found advice for that up front. It was more just kind of going through it and really discovering it as we went. We ended up being able to, a friend of mine basically decided he wanted to come in and help. So he kind of has stepped in the past couple of years and really picked up the ball as far as, I guess you could say, like, director of operations role of the business and the executive producer role of the business. So he helps do what Steph used to do on a day-to-day level, but also manages all the books. And it's been super, super helpful. One of those very necessary roles in a business if you're not that person yourself. So
I gotcha. I never saw that posted on LinkedIn or anything. Did I ever apply for that job?
It was a... I don't think I would have wanted you to apply for that job.
That's right. We still wanted to be friends at the end of the day. That's
right. No, it was one of those things, like, I was just having a conversation with a friend. It was one of those things, like, I was at the moment, I was like, I think I'm going to close down the business. It was just too much. And then we got all these calls. I remember I was sitting on the porch with Steph, we were having this conversation, like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And then I got a call for a job that was, I think, four times more than anything we'd ever done before. Wow. From somebody I'd never met, and they had just heard seen our work online. I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then we got another call for another job similar, and then that kind of kept happening. So I was having a conversation with a friend, and he's like, hey, if you need help, I'll help you. I'm like, oh, cool. So
that's awesome.
Definitely one of those fortuitous things that's been pretty amazing. So
that's great, man. How do you guys promote yourselves then? I mean, obviously making that connection was a big deal, but as far as like getting the word out about the story is, I mean, there's so much available to us now as far as resources, like, you know, there's social media, there's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, which I absolutely loathe. I can't take Twitter, man. It's like the one space of social media that I don't know if I'll ever be able to get into and do. I know it's important, but man,
So as far as my family has a history of entrepreneurship. So both my grandparents had businesses their entire lives, basically. So like since they were early 20s to retirement age, and they both grew through word of mouth. They just did great work, and they never really tried to promote themselves. They never did that. So I think I kind of took that philosophy. I know there's lots of ways you can, you know, hack Facebook and Instagram and do tweets and all this stuff. And we do some promotion. We have presences in certain social media platforms, mostly Facebook and Instagram. We don't do Twitter right now. Mostly because I can't really stand Twitter. It's just,
see, you and I are like kindred spirits, man. I mean, it's just,
yeah, and it's fine. It's one of those things, like, there are all these tools, but what tool works for you? So there's really no reason to use all of them if you don't need to. So we have been fortunate enough to be able to run our business basically mostly word of mouth. And word of mouth could be going to a networking event and meeting somebody and doing a follow-up email. Or
do you guys do a lot of those then? Do you do a lot of networking events?
Not as many as we used to. I used to do more before the kids were born. And it was mostly a time thing. And then now we mind referrals. So by that, I mean, like, we do business for somebody, they like the work, we ask them, hey, it used to be a slower process because we would kind of just wait for them to just hope that they would tell people about us, but it's become a lot more deliberate. So after we do a project for somebody, we ask for a testimonial, assuming we had a pleasant experience working with them and they us, which usually we do. And then we ask if they have anybody that they feel would work well with us. And we are deliberate about it, which has helped. But we don't really do any like mailer ads or that kind of stuff. It doesn't really, especially the way that we do business, the way that we promote the type of work it is, it's very organic, very authentic. So that feels off brand for us. So we haven't really thankfully needed to.
I think that's really important too. And a really good point you made, like, because I think most creatives have a hard time, in some sense, putting themselves out there when it comes to that business side of things, like asking for a testimonial or asking for referrals. Like, that can seem just daunting. Like, you just almost, like, it almost, you almost expect that the network's just going to build itself on its own.
Right.
Because I've done such great work. I know I do great work. And I'm sure other people will enjoy my great work. Tell them about my great work. You know, like, I don't.
Everyone spread the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, I think I've heard it's called the creative bias, which I didn't know there was a name for it, but it's the idea of, I will put my stuff out into the ether and just, it will sing songs and reap rewards. and it's definitely not how the world works. No. We have been fortunate with word of mouth, but you also have to be intentional about reaching out, and because, you know, people, a lot of times they're running their businesses, they're doing their own thing. So for me to think that they're even spending even a little bit of time like hunting for stuff for us to do is kind of silly. So it's one of those things like, okay, it was a little uncomfortable at first to just ask somebody, hey, do you know anybody who can do business with us? It's kind of a weird, I don't know, especially as a creative, you don't want to do that, but we learn, like, people want to help you, especially if they've had a pleasant experience working with you. So we have a process, and we ask for referrals, and we get referrals, and we follow up. And a lot of times they are following up for us, which is pretty cool. Like, they're like, hey, I just talked to this person for you. They're going to give you a call. So it takes a bit to get used to that. And especially the networking side of things, where like you go to a event and you don't know anybody and you're just trying to like hawk your wares. It is weird.
It's like speed dating, man. It's like, you know,
it's one of those things. Okay. How do you get the most out of it? And I found it's more just being authentic and being real and actually not trying to just sell yourself. It's more just getting to know somebody, and that might lead to business. So there's a lot I've learned, over the years. So.
that's a great point, man. I mean, like, one of the things that's really funny, I saw this really funny meme the other day, and then we'll start to kind of wrap this up a little bit, 'cause I know you got, run on time here, but I saw this meme, this picture on social media, which was like it was a cartoon of a guy at a book signing event, and he's sitting behind his table, and there's a sign above his head that says, "Don't make eye contact with the author." and there's these people walking by him looking the other direction, and he's just staring off into space. I was like, man, that is so funny. Like, that's good. Like, what it is. It's
that's
almost good. Like, there's this, like, oh no, that guy wants to sell me something. And you, as the person who's there, are just like, oh gosh, I'm just like another salesman, you know, or something. And really, it's just like you said, just being authentic and just like, hey, I'm just kind of getting to know you. Because the moment you actually meet somebody and you connect their work with the person, and if that's a pleasurable experience, that just opens so many doors for people being in your camp, really, you know, being supportive of your work. So yeah, that's all really good stuff, man. One last thing before I let you go is, I know that, like I said, we were both in this Cleveland Writers Group for a while, and I know that you have other passion projects, like eventually want to do like large scale film, and I know you've been involved in some other things before. So, are those things that have become back burner a lot for you as far as working and doing what you're doing, or are these things that you're like, I've set goals for them now and I'm going to see those come to fruition soon?
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
One of the
great answer.
I guess one of the shocking things when starting this business is I like meeting other business owners. So especially in the same field. So I would meet with other people who own video production companies. And the reason most of us get into video is because we want to, you know, make movies or tell fun stories or that kind of stuff. So I was shocked in the amount of people I was meeting who hadn't done a passion project in a decade or more. And I was like, well, you know, and then I would ask them why. And like, well, you know, I'm trying to pay the bills and get work and blah, blah, blah. And this is, you know, when I first started, I'm like, well, that's crazy. I'm not going to be that. I'm going to do the work for the clients and make money so we can pay our bills and then do passion projects. And I really quickly realized, like, oh my gosh, like, if you aren't incredibly intentional about your side projects, you'll just never, ever do them. So all that to say, over the years, we've been able to do, I think, three or four kind of passion narrative films that are very different than the stuff we do for businesses. Mostly because they wanted to be able to do them and nobody wanted to pay us to do those types of work. So it's one of those things, like, when you creative in art, the creative world is weird because you do a thing, like for writing, for example, you want to write and make money writing,
mm-hmm.
but you'll never have as much fun writing as you probably are right now when you're not making money on it, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So once you start making money on a thing, it becomes a job. I mean, and it's a job that you can love, but there's a part of it where you're like, this can be really stressful because there's this level of when you're not making money on it, when it's just a passion, you can take a lot more freedoms than you can if it's a paid job. There's a lot more, lot less, I guess, pressure
mm-hmm.
to, you know, get it perfectly for whatever reason. So all that to say, like, I'm still trying to, you know, do passion things, and move in that direction. It's just one of those, like, strategic, okay, this is how much time we have. My wife actually got me this book.
Oh, nice.
As an early birthday gift, she gave it to me last weekend. And I'm like, she's
that
like,
was
I
John Acuff's. Oh, what is it called again?
What'd you say?
What's that one called? It's John Acuff, right?
John Acuff.
Finish.
Give yourself the gift of done.
I'm doing that for the audio version only.
Dude, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. So she gives it to me. She's like, I got your birthday present. I'm like, my birthday's not for another 2 months. She's like, yeah, you always have basically a midlife crisis at your birthday because you're always stressed out about the things you haven't gotten done. So I wanted to get you this book to help you. Which has been awesome. It's been really incredible because the thing is, I'm always wanting to do all of the things all the time. So, you know, I'm writing screenplay right now. I started last year, trying to get it done this year. I've got a short film that I filmed like a year and a half ago that I'm trying to finish. It's one of those things that's been like 95% done. Then life happens and you kind of forget about it. I'm trying to finish, you know, books I've started over the years. One of them when we were doing our writers group. So there's lots of things that, you know, you want to do. And it's one of those things you kind of give yourself grace, especially when you have kids. Like, okay, I can't work at the pace, or at least the side hustle stuff has to kind of be put in pause for a minute, so I can concentrate on being a present father. Because yeah. Otherwise it's so easy to just...
That's kind of important.
get sucked. Oh my gosh. You have to be so intentional about being present. It's so easy to, at least for me, get sucked in either, you know, on my phone. Cause now I can write on my phone. I've got screenwriting apps on my phone. So it's okay. Put the phone on the shelf, be present with my kids. Don't think about the business. Don't think about these story ideas I have. And be okay with, you know, that's not the season to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel like my youngest is now one and I have a little bit more time to kind of work on some of these side things. So I can try to finish, give myself
exactly.
the gift on some of these things. So did I answer your question? I feel like I rambled a bit there.
Yeah,
but
no, that definitely answers the question. I mean, I think what you said kind of at the beginning of it, even about how you give yourself a little bit of grace, but you mm-hmm. don't want it to, like, you'll have more fun doing it now because you're not getting paid for it. You're kind of just doing it out of your, like, there's this natural just sort of faucet it's just running mm-hmm. all the creativity through, and there's no external pressure other than, I just want to, like, have an outlet. Right.
Yeah.
And
I do feel like there is this pressure to, I think about this a lot. I feel like there's this cultural pressure. If you want to do something creative, you have to do it as a business. And I think that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, because for a lot of creative things, you're just not going to make money. You're just not going to make money. So to try to start a business doing that, you're just putting yourself in these financial situations that you just shouldn't. And it's okay to do things for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And who cares if people say that you should, you know, quit your engineering job to, I don't know, knit something for five people. And it's okay to do a side hustle and all that stuff. But I feel like there's this especially for millennials, I feel like everyone's trying to start businesses. Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty of this. I did that. But a lot of people try to start businesses without working for somebody or really figuring out, like, is this actually something I want to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a lot of that I think is, you guys got to slow your roll for a minute. Think about this. Does this make sense?
Right.
Yes. Okay. Let's do it. Or no. Or like you were saying earlier, like, okay, let's step into this. Let's not just quit everything I'm doing and jump into this full time. Maybe can I do this on the side and really figure out, can I make money on this? And then eventually there will be a transition moment where you'll have to make a decision. But
yeah,
I think about that a lot.
No, that's a good point to end on there, because if you ever do go back into design, you could always do something like this. For those that are not in the video version or going to be in the video version of this, I'm holding a copy of my first novel, which is The Road to Mars, that Emmanuel Mullen did the cover for. So it's a very flashy cover. I've gotten so many compliments on this, man.
Oh, good.
I
was a lot. That was one where I didn't get paid for. And I'm not saying, like, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I had this idea. We had a meeting. I'm like, oh, you know what would be a cool cover? And so I went home and did it and emailed you like an hour later. Hey, I did this cover. And I enjoyed it so much because nobody was paying for me. It wasn't this client project. No, it was – there's something freeing about just being able to do creative stuff just for yourself. Mm-hmm. Or for others, but without pay. And it's going to sound very countercultural and counterintuitive because everyone's going to tell you to, you got to charge.
Yeah.
And there's obviously time for that, but it's okay to do things and just enjoy them.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because as a fellow creative, I've kind of had almost like, I felt like there was something hanging over my head forever because I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to pay Manuel for that thing.
Yeah, and you told me that, and I felt really bad because I thought I made a clear. You don't have to pay. I don't want to be paid. Do not pay me for that. Then it will not be an enjoyable experience.
Well, I threw you in the acknowledgments, so that's about as good as it's going to be for right now, anyway.
I'm happy with that.
We'll figure out other compensations and stuff. So maybe at a later date. So anyway, but. Man, it's been absolute pleasure, man. I'm really happy that you're able to take some time and just kind of come on the writer's lens here and just kind of share your insights about pursuing passion and just, I don't want to say debunk a lot of the archetypes about pursuing them, but rather giving some insight and everything to anybody else who's just pursuing their creative passions. I mean, it's just, you're obviously a living testimony of it. You and your wife both.
Sure. Thank you.
So, congrats to you guys. And I just wish you guys to continued success and to continue expanding it as you can. So, because I know you got all these other side projects going on. So,
it's too many things, man. I got to stop.
Give yourself the gift of done, man. Just finish it.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on. Yeah.
But, awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks for having me. It went really fast. I'm kind of shocked how quick it went. So.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do it to you someday.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So real quick plug for the I-Man here. You can find them. Is it thestoryis.com?
Thestoryis.com.
Yeah, your website is really slick, man. So,
oh, thanks.
To anyone who's listening, like, I don't know who did your website. Was it you?
I did it.
Okay, well, oh, man, this guy does everything. this is ridiculous. Does the book cover.
I will not do it. So
does the book cover? Does the whole? The man does it all, folks. The man just does it all. So, yeah, you can find them at thestoryis.com. I've seen them on Instagram doing their thing. But I mean, if you guys want to follow them, there's The Story Is on Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yep, Story Is on Instagram. Facebook, it's The Story Is Video. Because Facebook was weird and wouldn't let us have the other one, but.
You can fight for that at a later date if you really feel
when it makes sense to fight this model.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again, brother. Again, Manuel Mullen, The Story Is. Thanks for being on the Writer's Lens, guys. This is Josh JCL Felto. Thanks.